It was a dark and stormy night. Okay, just kidding. Hey, kids. It's Gina here. Happy Halloween. Ihahaunahunagweev. That's Irish for Halloween. Why am I saying it in Irish? I'll get to that in a bit. First, I need to give y'all an update. Sadly, you're stuck with me for the time being. Our dear Stacy has been, now get this, abducted by aliens. I know, it was only a matter of time. She lives out in the middle of nowhere. It's crazy. She disappeared late Friday night, and then I started getting these really weird DMs from her. And then finally, she was able to get a coherent message out to me last night. If you see her on Twitter, it's only because they're letting her post intermittently to convince everyone that she's home and she's totally not abducted. But guys, she's totally abducted. They told her she'll be allowed to come home once they've successfully implanted the extraterrestrial consciousness into her brain and make her their queen. Then they'll send her back to Earth to start colonizing us. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad, but she's already my queen, so I think I'm safe. We'll see. Yeah. Love you, Ludgate. Please don't cut up my brain too much. Please. Yeah. So, hey, guys. You're stuck with me, like I said, for the time being, in my random Halloween ramblings. I'm going to try not to be lame or boring. That's going to be hard because I need Stacy to be funny. So, yeah, we're going to see how this goes. Stacy and I had really grand plans to cover movies that we love for Halloween. But the feckin' aliens wrecked our plans. So, I'm here to talk to you about the origin of Halloween, some traditions, some of my favorite traditions, my favorite Halloween movies, maybe a ghost story. We'll kind of see how this rambles on. But before I go any further, I want to highly recommend a documentary that I absolutely love by Frank Delaney. It's called The Celts, Rich Traditions and Ancient Myths. This was a documentary that was on the BBC back in 1987. So you can probably find this on Amazon or YouTube. Don't go with the other BBC documentary on the Celts. The music was too loud and distracting, and I just didn't dig it at all. But this Frank Delaney one is really really good, and I highly recommend it. There's a lot of really great information about the ancient Celts and some mythology and, you know, modern day Celts and places and things like that. It's really great documentary, and you did the music for it. I mean, I know it's 1987 and it's, you can tell it was 1987, but it's such a fabulous documentary. I cannot recommend it enough. So with all that out of the way, let's get to the ancient origins of Halloween. Now, I come from a very Irish family, so I got that Celtic blood running through me, so I love Celtic lore. And the stories of the Tóthar na Dtáinín, and yeah, it's just, I love the Celts. So, Halloween, being one of my favorite holidays, is of Celtic origin. So, 2,000 years ago, the Celts were living in what's now Ireland, the UK, and northern France. So, they celebrated Samhain on November the 1st, and that was typically the end of summer, beginning of the long, dark winter. It was time of the harvest. It was also associated with death. They believed that the night before Samhain, which is October 31st, the veil between the worlds was thinned so that the dead would be able to cross into the land of the living. So they believed that the spirits would cause trouble, damage the crops, but it was also believed that the druids would be able to make predictions about the future. So, you know, people back then were dependent completely on the natural world. So these prophecies were a very important source of comfort for the winter. So to commemorate the event, the druids would build huge bonfires, and together people would burn their crops or animals as sacrifices to the Celtic gods. And they would also wear costumes, usually like animal heads and skins, and they would attempt to tell each other's fortunes. When the celebration was over, they relit their hearth fires, which they had extinguished earlier in the evening, from the sacred bonfire to help protect them during the coming winter. So it's a pretty cool tradition that they had back in the day. Then later on, when the Roman Empire conquered the majority of the Celtic territory, they started turning things to Roman traditions. So I'm just reading a little blurb here. There were two festivals of Roman origin that were combined with the Celtic tradition of Samhain. The first was Feralia, a day in late October when Romans traditionally commemorated the passing of the dead. The second was to honor Pomona, the Roman goddess of fruit and trees. The symbol of Pomona is an apple, and the incorporation of this celebration into Samhain probably explains the tradition of bobbing for apples that is practiced today on Halloween. By the 9th century, the influence of Christianity had spread into Celtic lands, where it gradually blended with and supplanted older Celtic rites, like everything. In 1000 AD, the church made November 2nd All Souls' Day, a day to honor the dead. It's widely believed today that the church was attempting to replace the Celtic festival of the dead with a related church-sanctioned holiday. As All Souls' Days was celebrated, similarly to Samhain, with big bonfires, parades, and dressing up in costumes as saints, angels, and devils. The All Saints' Day celebration was also called All Hallows, and the night before it, the traditional night of Samhain in the Celtic religion, began to be called All Hallows' Eve, and then eventually Halloween. So the tradition of Halloween was extremely limited in the United States when the colonies first started, especially in New England, because of the rigid Protestant beliefs there. They the Puritans and those types were not really into that. So Halloween was much more common in Maryland and the more southern colonies. But as the beliefs and customs of different European ethnic groups and American Indians meshed, a distinctly American version of Halloween began to emerge. The first celebrations included play parties, which were public events held to celebrate the harvest. Neighbors would share stories of the dead, tell each other's fortunes, dance, and sing. Colonial Halloween festivals also featured the telling of ghost stories and mischief-making of all kinds. By the middle of the 19th century, annual autumn festivals were common. The aliens are screwing up my speech here, guys. I'm sorry. But Halloween was not yet celebrated everywhere in the country. But in the second half of the 19th century, America was flooded with new immigrants. These immigrants, especially millions of Irish fleeing the famine, helped popularize the celebration of Halloween nationally. Borrowing from European traditions, Americans began to dress up in costumes and go house to house asking for food or money, a practice that eventually became today's trick-or-treat tradition. Young women believed that on Halloween, they could divine the name and appearance of their future husband by doing tricks with yarn, apple parings, or mirrors. In the late 1800s, there was a move in America to mold Halloween into a more community and neighborly, like, get-togethers than about ghost pranks and witchcraft. At the turn of the century, Halloween parties for both children and adults became the most common way to celebrate the day. Parties focused on games, foods of the season, and festive costumes. By the 20s and 30s, Halloween had become secular and a community-centered holiday with parades and town-wide Halloween parties as the featured entertainment. Despite the best efforts of many schools and communities, vandalism began to plague some celebrations in many communities during this time. By the 50s, town leaders had successfully limited vandalism, and Halloween had evolved into a holiday directed mainly at the young. Due to the high numbers of young children during the 50s baby boom, parties were moved from town civic centers into the classroom or home, where they were more easily accommodated. Between 1920 and 1950, the centuries-old practice of trick-or-treating was also revived. Trick-or-treating was a relatively inexpensive way for an entire community to share the Halloween celebration. In theory, families could also prevent tricks being played on them by providing neighborhood children with small treats. Thus, an American tradition was born, and it has continued to grow. Today, Americans spend an estimated $6 billion annually on Halloween, making it the country's second largest commercial holiday after Christmas. And that's my favorite, because really, when else can you get dressed up as whatever you want? And it is not frowned upon, and no one is, you know, calling you silly or lame because you're wearing a Renaissance dress and a blonde wig. Because I would totally dress up like that every day if I could. But on Halloween, it's socially acceptable. So, yeah, I love Halloween. And I may be totally sitting here in that Renaissance dress and blonde wig right now because, yeah, I totally am. The American Halloween tradition of trick-or-treating probably dates back to the early All Souls Day parades in England. During the festivals, poor citizens would beg for food, and families would give them pastries called soul cakes in return for their promise to pray for the family's dead relatives. The distribution of soul cakes was encouraged by the church as a way to replace the ancient practice of leaving food and wine for roaming spirits. The practice, which is referred to going a-souling, was eventually taken up by children who would visit the houses in the neighborhood to be given ale, food, and money. Wait, they were giving ale to the kids? Where was I when this was happening? I've never gotten ale when I went trick-or-treating. Dang. Wow. That's lame. Yeah. So anyway, in other places in the world, there are such traditions. In Mexico, Latin America, and Spain, All Souls Day, which is November 2nd, is commemorated with a three-day celebration that begins on the evening of the 31st for Dia de los Muertos. Many families construct an altar to the dead and their families. They build altars in their home, to honor deceased relatives and decorate it with candy, flowers, photographs, samples of the deceased's favorite foods and drinks, and fresh water. Often a wash basin and towel are left out so the spirit can wash before indulging in the feast, because nobody wants a dirty spirit, guys, you know. In Ireland, where Halloween originated, the day is still celebrated much as it is in the United States. In rural areas, bonfires are lit, as they were in the days of the Celts. And all over the country, children get dressed up in costumes and spend the evening trick-or-treating in their neighborhoods. After trick-or-treating, most people attend parties with neighbors and friends. At parties, many games are played, including Snap Apple, which is a game in which people tie an apple on a string, and it's tied up to a door frame or to a tree, and players attempt to bite the hanging apple, in addition to bobbing for apples like that, which, I don't know, I think I'd rather that than sticking your face in water trying to bite an apple. I don't know. parents often arrange treasure hunts with candy or pastries as the treasure. The Irish also play a card game where cards are laid face down on a table with candy or coins underneath them. When a child chooses a card, he receives whatever prize is found below it. Traditional food eaten on Halloween in Ireland is called barnbrack, a kind of fruitcake that can be bought in stores or baked at home. It's wrapped in muslin, and baked inside the cake is a little treat that can be said to foretell the eater's future. If a ring is found, it means that the person who finds it will soon be wed. A piece of straw would mean that that person would be prosperous in the year. Children are also known to play tricks on their neighbors, such as knock a dolly. We call it knock knock zoom zoom here, or ding dong ditch. But basically, they would knock on the door of their neighbors and run away. Yeah, the cake thing almost sounds like the king cake that we have for Mardi Gras here. So those are some Halloween traditions. Now, in my house, I think I've dressed for Halloween every single year of my life, except for 2005. 2005, I went trick-or-treating with my kids, but I was not in costume, and that was only because I was 9 months pregnant and in labor. My mother came up and did trick-or-treating with me because my husband was at work, and had the little stopwatch to time my contractions because I was walking along and I would stop and I'd say, okay, having a contraction, and I'd have to stand still as people walk by me kind of looking at me like I was a ticking time bomb, and I'm like, it's okay. And, you know, my contractions were like 7 minutes apart, I think, for most of the time that, you know, I was out. I was supposed to check into the hospital at 7 o'clock, so we had plenty of time to get our trick-or-treat on, and went up and down both sides of our street. And I came back to my house to bring the kids back because my husband had just gotten in from work. And my neighbors we had shared steps, like a shared stoop, and my neighbors are sitting on the steps and they're like, when are you due? And I'm like, I'm in labor right now. I'm getting ready to drop the kids off and go to the hospital. They're like, you were trick-or-treating in labor? Yes. Yes, I was. I love Halloween that much. I was not giving up going trick-or-treating at all. So, yeah. And that year, my kids were... my oldest son was Darth Vader. I want to say my youngest son was, let's see, my oldest son was 10 at the time as Darth Vader. My 8-year-old son was, I think, Woody from Toy Story. And my oldest daughter, who was 5 at the time, was Belle. And my husband took these fantastic pictures of my daughter in the Belle costume with the Darth Vader mask, and it was fantastic. So I at least got to see that when he brought them to the hospital for me. So yeah, I had my daughter on November 1st. So she was not a Halloween baby, but I distinctly remember being up all night in labor. They told me to rest, but American Psycho was on TV, so I was in labor watching American Psycho. And they hadn't given me the epidural yet, so I was acutely aware of pain in watching that movie. So yeah, that was fun. But I love going trick-or-treating, and my favorite costume is one that I bought 28 years ago. It's my Renaissance dress. I have that dress that I had gotten for Renaissance fairs, and then I just started wearing it out trick-or-treating or Halloween parties. Then I bought an Irish cloak that I wear over it, because Halloween here in Pennsylvania, it's a mixed bag. It can be cold, it can be warm. So that was my way around having to put a coat on over my costume. I wear the cloak, and the cloak, you know, it fit the dress. And sometimes I carry a lantern because, you know, I need to be extra like that. So when I would take my kids out trick-or-treating, and, you know, I'd have my little lantern to light the sidewalk. It was multi-purpose. I had my cloak on if it was cold, and my dress. And sometimes when the wind would blow and the cloak is flopping around, I mean, it had some ambiance, man. It was cool. Loved it. So yeah, that is my favorite Halloween costume. And I was very lucky that I would say about 5 years ago, I started a new job where they were very into Halloween, which was fantastic for me. We would do group theme costumes. So our whole department would decorate in that particular theme. So the first year I was there, we did Snow White. So we got all kinds of things from Amazon. We built an enchanted forest. My whole team was the Seven Dwarves. My manager was Snow White. It was fantastic. And we won that year. The following year, we did a time machine. So everybody in the department did a different time period. So of course I wore my dress, but I did a War of the Roses kind of a theme. And I bought a wig because, you know, they didn't have short brown hair in medieval times. So I bought a wig because, of course, I did. And so we built panels and hoses and things like that. And we did this whole time machine thing, which was phenomenal. I think we won that year, too. And then we did Camp Crystal Lake, which the cover art for this episode was part of our Camp Crystal Lake. We all got camp counselor t-shirts. We had somebody to play Jason Voorhees. We had so much fun. I built tents. I brought sleeping bags. We built a whole campfire scene. We had an archery range. We had sound effects going of, you know, the sound of a thunderstorm and wind in the trees and peepers and frogs. It was a blast. Halloween is awesome when you get to do stuff like that. The following year we did an abandoned toy factory. So we could really, really, really get creative. So we were doing crazy ass toys that nobody wanted. So because I had my Renaissance dress and my blonde wig, I transformed myself into Dungeon Barbie. Yeah, because I'm extra like that. So I had, you know, my dirty face, and my little sidekick was a crow. And the box that I was in, it comes with a skeleton behind prison bars because it was a dungeon. Duh. So, yeah, I was Dungeon Barbie. And that's probably one of my more favorite iterations of that costume. last year we did a record store, so everybody dressed up as a different recording artist. So of course I could not use the Renaissance dress for that one. So, I became Maxine Andrews from the Andrews Sisters, and, you know, I had my little 40s curly hair and, my little army uniform, and it wasn't bad. It was not bad. I made sure, you know, like I researched hairstyles and I wanted to get the right shade of red lipstick and everything just so everything was perfect because it's Halloween. You gotta be, you know, perfect. So I did get to go trick-or-treating last year as Maxine Andrews. And last year, the aesthetic for Halloween last year was really cool. Little did we know that it was the calm before the storm, but when we were out trick-or-treating with my daughter and her friends, it was warm. There was a little bit of a cool breeze, but, you know, not too bad, but like then the fog rolled in. It was really crazy fog rolled in. And we were near woods, and there actually was a house there in the neighborhood where we were that's haunted. It's changed hands, I don't know how many times in the last few years that we've been going over there, because things move, people see and hear things, and then they move out. but it's a really great old house that was built in the 1700s. Anyway, yeah, so the whole aesthetic was really cool with that, you know, the sound of the wind through the trees and the fog and everything. It was really neat. So we got home from trick-or-treating that night, and, you know, we went through all our candy and everything. And then all of a sudden, like, the wind really kicked up and there was a storm, and then we started getting tornado warnings, and we heard it, it sounded like a freight train. It was the craziest night. We all ran downstairs to our utility room because that was, you know, the most, it was below ground and the most inmost room in our house. So we hid there until we heard everything subside. Once that subsided and the power went out, and we realized what had happened was the tree across the way had come down on the power line. So we were 3 days without power. So we had no heat. So we had to use our wood burning stove for heat. Because of course it got really cold then. It turned out that it was straight line winds. We had 120 mile an hour straight line winds. The major roadway through my town, in one section, it took out like 12 or 13 electrical poles. All the poles were down. So the whole township was without power for a good three days. They had to replace the poles over where I am and, you know, put new wires up and everything. It was bad. It was really bad. We went through pretty much all of our firewood trying to stay warm. Yeah, that was a fun Halloween. And because my daughter's birthday is November 1st, she kind of had a sucky birthday last year because we were, you know, all sitting in one room with the wood-burning stove. But, you know, then this year it's COVID, so I think I'd rather have the no electricity than the COVID. So I'm not going trick-or-treating this year just to be on the safe side. And she's not too happy, but, you know, I told her to buy her candy and we'll do a little Halloween party for her. She wanted red velvet cupcakes for her birthday, so we'll do that for her. So she's got a little bit of something special for Halloween. Now, Halloween also marks in my family kind of a weird period. I'm recording this today on October 26th, and 24 years ago today, we lost my grandfather, who was the most Irish person that I know in the United States. My grandfather was a very superstitious old Irishman. He was American, but his mother was Irish and very, very, very superstitious, and my grandfather believed in many, many things, like, because their next door neighbor, when the or his I think it was his father, maybe the year their Christmas tree fell, his father died, so he believed if the Christmas tree fell, someone was gonna die. So yeah, little crazy superstitions like that. That was my grandfather. So that was deeply ingrained in my family, our Irishness. So we lost my grandfather on October 26th, 1996, and we buried him on Halloween, of course, because we're Irish. And that day was very strange for us. It was a typical fall day. I mean, it was wet, it was cold, it was windy. We had been sitting in the living room of his house and talking about this centerpiece that was used every year on the table for Christmas that my mom and her sister and her brothers had grown up with. But they hadn't seen the centerpiece in like forever. It hadn't been used. It had been in the loft over the garage, which is separate from the house. The garage is in the back of the house. So the day of the funeral, we're getting ready, and one of my aunts is looking out the window, and she's like, "What is that in the driveway?" And we go out, and it's one of the reindeer from the centerpiece. And we call it the three-legged reindeer because it's, one of the legs was up, so it's standing on three legs. Except it's windy and it's raining, and this reindeer is now in the driveway. We don't know how it got there. But it was kind of weird that it appeared there after we'd been talking about it. And yeah, so that appeared on the day of his funeral. Flash forward 2 years later, in 1998, I was at my parents' house, and we did trick-or-treating with my kids, who my oldest son was at that point 2 years old, and I had a baby. My youngest son was a baby at the time. We went out trick-or-treating with my oldest and then came back to the house, and I'm watching Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island because it was the first scary Scooby-Doo movie. And I hear one of my son's toys in the kitchen going off, and it was an Elmo car. And this Elmo car would, it would rev the engine, it would beep, and then Elmo would laugh, and then you hear it, the sound of the car zooming off. So I'm hearing this over and over and over, and I'm like, what is going on? And it's in the kitchen. I'm in the living room, so I have to pass through the dining room to get to the kitchen. So I'm walking through the dining room, I hit the doorway to the kitchen, and it stops. And I peek my head in, and okay, the car is sitting on the kitchen counter, and there's no one in the kitchen. So I'm like, okay, that's just weird. Turn around, I go back, and I sit down in the living room, and I continue watching the movie. And it starts up again, and it's just doing it over and over and over. And I walk back towards that way. I hit the doorway to the kitchen, and it stops again. I'm like, okay, this needs to stop. And so I go back and I sit down, and it starts for the third time. I get halfway into the dining room and I stop. And I'm thinking it's my grandfather at this point because it's Halloween. And I yell into the kitchen, "Pop, knock it off." And it stopped. So every year after that, little things would happen between Halloween and my pop's birthday, which is December 6th. And this went on for years. I've been touched. I would smell him. My pop always wore English leather, and no one else in my family wears that. And my husband did not wear that, but I would smell it. I remember one year when my aunt had moved into my grandparents' house, so we can keep the house and the family. And my aunt came home one day, and the fireplace had been completely cleaned out, and she'd been asking my cousin to clean out the fireplace. And he just wasn't doing it. So, she came home one day and it was completely clean. And she's like, she called him and she's like, "Did you clean out the fireplace?" And he's like, "No, I'll get to it." So she's like, "Well, it's already clean." He's like, "Well, I didn't do it." So, she checked the trash cans to see, was there soot in there? Where did all this go? Who cleaned the fireplace? There was nothing in the shop vac. It was clean. She called my two great uncles who live nearby and asked them if they had been over to the house at all. And they're like, no, I've been meaning to stop by, but I haven't been over yet. She was like, "Oh yeah, just checking to see if you'd been here." And so yeah, the fireplace was mysteriously completely cleaned out, and we don't know how that happened. To this day, we don't know how that happened. The dishwasher in my parents' house would turn off and on only between this time period, which is, crazy little things like that. So yeah, that's Halloween in my family. That's my little story. Things haven't happened for the last few years, and it kind of makes me sad because I miss those little visits that he would make. But, I guess he's moved on finally. Yeah, so I also love movies around Halloween. The last episode that Stacey and I did, we talked about Hocus Pocus, which I think everybody in the world had seen except for me. So that is going to now be my new tradition. I also, because you guys know how much I love cartoons, I love Scooby-Doo movies. And the new Scooby-Doo movies that started in 1998, where they were a little more, not quite so much, it's always a guy in a mask. Those movies were my favorites. Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island, Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost is probably like my all-time favorite. I will watch that every year. I watch it when it's not Halloween. I just absolutely love that movie. And Tim Curry is in it as Ravencroft. So it is an absolutely fantastic Scooby-Doo movie. Watch it. Seriously. I have the Boomerang app so that I can watch my old school cartoons, and they've got all the Scooby movies on there. So yeah. And Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island. That one was a really, really, really great movie. I also love it's a Great Pumpkin. It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. It's such a cute movie. I absolutely love it. They don't come much cuter than Linus, waiting out there for the pumpkin, and Sally being out there with the man she loved until she realized that she got tricked and, there was no great pumpkin and she missed out on all the candy. 'Cause, what she did for love. I love Halloween movies. Now, like, Friday the 13th, I had not seen that movie before until I was doing research for that work thing where we built Camp Crystal Lake. So I happened to watch it on a Friday the 13th before Halloween, just so I can get an idea of you know, what everything looked like and scenes that we had to build for our decorations, basically. So yeah, I thought that was a really great movie. Poor Kevin Bacon, though. I mean, these teenagers should know not to have sex in the middle of the woods during a storm. But, you know, poor Kevin. I think I may have bored you all enough for this podcast, my rambling. Hopefully the aliens will free Stacy soon and we can get back to business as usual. And I hope you all have a good Halloween. Whatever you end up doing, just be kind, be safe. I know we're all getting tired of this. I'm getting tired of this, but we have to keep going, guys. We have to be safe and just do what we gotta do. Just work together and we'll get through this. All right, guys. I love yous and I'll catch you on the next one. Happy Halloween. Bye.